Because we're not responsible for other people's reaction. I'm only responsible for myself and the actions I take and the way I react. But I am not responsible for how other people react or respond to me. Welcome to Living Limitless. I'm your host, Emily Dawn, full-time entrepreneur and coach for coaches. This is the place for you to be if you want to live your life with time, money, and location freedom. Because life is too short to have a backup plan. Hey, 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 how are you doing this week? I hope you have had a fantastic start to your November. I know that my November has been very busy so far, but I couldn't ask for a better start to a month. And I just can't wait to see all that this month has in store and the end of 2021. I really want to end this year off with a bang, and you should too. As we dive in today's topic of the five truths I wish I knew about the coaching space, but a lot of these are relative to just entrepreneurship, social media, building a business online, and all of that jazz. So definitely stay tuned throughout the whole episode to hear about these things so that you can see some of what is not shown online, what things are behind the scenes that not everybody is necessarily talking about, and you could even say maybe the more taboo topics in the online space. Let's get ready to dive on in. So some of these truths are more lighthearted than others. So I'm going to start off with one that isn't too hard hitting, which is that increasing your hours does not mean increasing your income. So this isn't just relative to coaching businesses. This is just relative to business and entrepreneurship in general. The idea of working smarter rather than working harder. I do believe there needs to be an element or a hustler's mindset of continuously wanting to up-level and expand your skill set and try new things. I think it's important to have that drive and to have that hustler mindset, but I don't think your schedule needs to match that. I don't think you should have to be hustling to make ends meet. I don't think you have to be hustling to have a successful business. I believe you need to take action, consistent action, and keep on showing up even when you're not seeing the results you're after, so that you can use that trial and error process to weed out what isn't working and establish what is. And that's really what it comes down to about optimizing your time, is basically taking out what isn't necessary for you to be doing and only implementing what is actually moving your business forward, what is actually actively generating you leads, what is actually actively closing sales, what is actually actively getting your brand out there for your ideal client to see. We want to think about every action, every minute that we're spending in our business to be a minute worthwhile. And this also comes into play when it comes to outsourcing. Do not waste your time working on learning web development if that is not the area you want to serve in. You want to serve as a fitness coach, then you don't want to spend the time, because your time is money, on learning web development when you could put in that investment. And notice I say the word investment rather than purchase, because the intention is that money is going to be returned and it's going to be an even greater return. So outsourcing what is eating up your time and what isn't your zone of genius, and dialing in on what you need to be doing. So when your voice is essential, when your face is essential, like areas of your business that you actually can't outsource. And then those other things you're either going to automate or outsource. And of course, if it's something you enjoy in your business, then you're going to do that as well. So ultimately, the truth that I wish I knew from the beginning was increasing my hours does not mean increasing my income. So working more does not mean making more. The second truth I wish I was aware of from the start, or I guess you could say more aware of, is the fact that not everybody is going to see results. Not every client is going to see results. And as I say this, I want you to understand that I'm talking about clients that don't take action. So it's not about the process, although of course you want a process that's proven and works, but it's about the implementation. It doesn't matter how good your strategy is, how good your plan is, how good your system is, how good your book is, how good your trainings are. You can have the most transformative words and presentations, and you can have all of the things. But if a client is not going to actively observe, absorb, and apply that information, then it's not going to get them anywhere. They're going to stay where they are. So for myself, that was something very hard for me to accept that, do you know what? Not everybody is the same as me. And not everybody is actually going to take action. Not everybody wants it enough to implement. For myself, this was a very hard thing for me to accept because I am an all or nothing kind of person. If I'm in, that means I am all in. So to have signed on clients that I believe in so much and I see has so much potential and they just need to take action, it was killing me to see them just stay still and not implement. I'm like, why not just take action? You know, it can be scary and you need to believe in yourself as well, because it doesn't matter how much I believe in you. You need to believe in you. You need to be your biggest fan. You need to be the one that says, I am going to go out there and I'm going to smash these goals. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be the best of the best. I am going to be the best version of myself. I'm going to stay true to who I am. I'm going to take action. I'm going to implement. I'm going to be my authentic self. I'm going to feel good about the processes I take. And you need to be empowered in the actions you're taking in your business. But if you are sitting back and not wanting to get uncomfortable, not wanting to go on Facebook Lives, not wanting to optimize your profile and change your bio, not wanting to use your personal profile because your family and friends are there, that's what's holding you back. The reason why I'm getting so fired up about this is because when I see people that I know absolutely can have successful businesses, but then they say, you know, why am I not gaining clients? Or I don't know why people aren't reaching out about my services. I don't know why I'm struggling to book calls. And then you give them the actions, the clear roadmap for their next steps, and they don't take it. But again, it is not up to me. I am not them. It ultimately is their decision. It is their decision whether or not they follow the guidance. And that's what a coach is. A coach is somebody that guides. And something I have noticed is some people are seeking consultant services from coaches. Okay? Some people are looking for a business consultant, but they are investing in business coaches. So understanding the difference, do you want to be guided and prompted to find the answers? Do you want to be taught? Or do you want somebody to tell you, this is what to do? If you want to be told what to do, then you know which route you need to go. If you want to find the guidance, the resources, the roadmap through a coach, then go through a coach. But make sure you are investing in the kind of service that you're looking for. Are you looking for a coach, consultant? And whichever route you choose, are you prepared to take action? For myself and my programs and my coaching, I don't worry about whether people get results anymore because I know if they implement, they will. Like it's not a question. It's inevitable. My clients will see results when they take action. If you don't take action, you're not going to see results because nothing has changed. But I am 100% confident that when my clients take action, they see results. And that's why I can also sell with confidence. It's because I know when they're making an investment in me, they are unlocking resources that enable them to have a successful business. And I have so much confidence, not only from, you know, the people's businesses that I've helped transform and my own, but I have that confidence in the process, in the fact that this isn't just a guessing game. This is a refined process, system, approach, where we look into your business, see what you're up to, how can we use the systems and strategies that work and make it work for you, okay? Make your business work for you. So that is my long-winded truth that not every client is going to see results, and that is because not every client is going to take action. And again, this is, you could say, something that you can avoid by only signing ideal clients. But sometimes it does happen where somebody very much appears to check off all the boxes of an ideal client, and later you soon find out certain attributes aren't your ideal client. And that's why it takes refining and you change your messaging so that you can target those people that are going to take action, that are ready to invest, that see the value and have that self-belief to take action upon whatever you are teaching. Okay, number three is a heavy hitter. It's that not everybody has good intentions. And that sounds very negative or morbid, but I don't want this to be a downer. I just want this to be, I guess you could say, an eye-opener. And some people might be like, yeah, Emily, it's pretty obvious. But the experiences I've had were a bit, I don't want to say shocking, but I guess just eye-opening of I didn't realize this is how people interacted or reacted until I saw it from my own experiences. And so what I'm referring to is how people are your cheerleader when you're talking about your goals or when you are, quote, on a lower level than them. And it's almost cute, you know, oh, that's cute that you're going to try this out, or that's cute that you're starting a business, or they're your cheerleader when you're talking about your goals. But the moment these things actually come into fruition and you start growing, you start achieving these things and you possibly surpass them in some way, shape, or form, the mood, the reaction, the support changes. And this is not for everyone. This is not for everyone. But I'm saying I have noticed myself, for example, with my group, okay? Every group starts out with one member, which is yourself. You know, if you start a Facebook group, at one point, it's just you. Okay, so every group is 5 members, 10 members, 15 members at one point before they're a large group. So when my group was, you know, a smaller size, let's say a couple hundred, it was like, oh, that's great that you have a Facebook group. And the way people interacted with me was very different than now when I have 8,500 plus members. And I'm not just saying it's different how people interact with me in general, it is, but the same people interact with me differently now that they see I have this, quote, audience or business asset. And this is where you can kind of see the divide between people who view this space as competition or collaboration. And so before, you know, you were just somebody trying out something. But now all of a sudden people are seeing you as some sort of threat or competition. And so communication does change. And that was something that was very eye-opening because I was being treated and communicated to differently by the same people simply with the change of my business. Okay, number four, we are talking about killing opportunities and how making assumptions will kill opportunities. And assumptions are like one of the worst things we can do for our mental health, for our business, for everything, because we are predicting what we don't know. And when we make up these things, we often, you know, we're jumping to conclusions. And this kind of cages us into a box of seeing things from only one side, or only being able to see things go in one direction, when really if we kept an open mind, if we didn't make assumption, if we didn't jump the gun on things, it could lead to something that we never even thought of in a positive way. So I want to give you an example. As I was just starting out online and I was learning to network, I guess you could say, basically I was direct messaging and starting conversation with people. And I knew nothing about DM strategy, direct messaging strategy, or pitching in the DMs, or I didn't know about any of that stuff. I was a total newbie. I was like a goldfish thrown into the ocean. You know, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was immersed in it, and that's how I was experiencing it. So I can't forget this response I had when I was first starting out direct messaging and networking, because I was caught off guard because I was so new to the space. I didn't know about all these DM strategies and all this. And so I was just genuinely trying to get to know people, build my connections. Like, I just wanted to meet people and, you know, expand my knowledge and learn from people. And so I messaged this girl and, you know, I asked, I don't know, how are you? And she responded. And then I asked her another question. And she said, I don't like this approach. And I was really confused. I was like, okay. I was like, and then I just, because it was over text, I was like, okay, she can't hear my tone. Maybe I'll send a voice memo. So I sent a voice memo saying, hey, you know, I just wanted to connect. And then she just never responded. And then I felt really bad. I was like, oh my goodness, she thinks my intention is bad. Or, you know, I was so worried about it. And I was making an assumption about how she was viewing me now. And so that was eating up my mental health. And then on the other side of things, the flip side of things, from her side, she was making an assumption about me, which was actually a false assumption that I was just trying to make her my client. That wasn't my intention at all. And she was making that assumption that this was my approach, and therefore I'm trying to make her a client, and she didn't like that. But that wasn't my intention. So she was making an assumption, which was false. And then I'm making an assumption about how she feels about me. And so both are those different sides to it, but both are assumptions, and both would negatively affect me. And for her, it's going to negatively affect her because she missed out on an opportunity to be connected with me and see how we could possibly benefit each other, how I could possibly, you know, refer her clients, or how we could do a collaboration, or all of these things that this conversation could have been, never was, because she made an assumption that I was doing this for a reason that I wasn't. So that's just one example of like making an assumption. And so keeping an open mind and allowing things to flow, allowing things to to work out how they're meant to work out. Like sometimes I have DM conversation and it ends after, you know, two or three messages sent. Other people, we keep on going back and forth, voice memo, and then we check in. And, you know, I just let it be. I let it be. And whatever it's meant to be, will be. It sounds so simple. Obviously, if people are following call to actions on my posts or I'm reaching out for a certain intention, I make that intention clear. And this is with permission-based sales. This is why I do permission-based sales, is because from the beginning, I'm clear. If I'm going in to pitch to you, you're going to know because I've told you I'm coming from a post that you interacted with. I'm not trying to hide behind my messages. So when I ask somebody how they're doing, I want to know how they're doing. If I ask somebody what they're up to this week, I'm interested to know what they're up to this week. This is no cover up for me to try to manipulate or trick people into anything. That's me simply asking what I want to hear. Asking what I want to hear. And if somebody is interested in my service, if somebody is interacting with my posts, I'm going to let them know, hey, I saw you liked my photo. Are you interested in Facebook group growth? I've seen you interacting with these posts. And often, you know, they just tell the truth. Simple as that. Oh, yeah, I was just engaging to support you. Or actually, yeah, I'm really interested to see how you grew your group so fast. Or, and then we can start a conversation to see how it goes. But if I don't ask, I don't receive. I'm not going to get an answer if I don't ask. So don't assume that people know. That's another thing. Don't assume that people know about your group, that people know about your offer. Don't assume that even though you've posted 15 times about your challenge, don't assume that all of your followers have seen those posts. Do not let missed opportunity just sit there in front of you. Start connecting, start asking, start being yourself. And when you take action that you feel good about, you're not worried about other people's reaction because we're not responsible for other people's reaction. I'm only responsible for myself and the actions I take and the way I react. But I am not responsible for how other people react or respond to me. Okay? And this is, I'm saying this and I'm kind of speaking to myself as well because this takes practice. And yes, I've improved, but I still have a long way to go. I still have a long way to go. And I think every day that I show up for myself, that I show up for my business, I'm going to be practicing this about understanding that I only can take control of my actions and the way I react. And it is not my responsibility to make my actions a certain way so that other people react a certain way. Because then I'm trying to control everybody, and that just doesn't work. It's just going to leave you stuck. It's going to leave you anxious. It's going to leave you overwhelmed, and you don't want to be stuck in that rabbit hole, okay? I really like the topic of today's episode because some of these things, oh, they get me really, I don't want to say frustrated, but I'm very passionate about some of these things, especially when it comes to direct messaging. And yeah, I could talk forever about direct messaging and the stigma around it. So let me know for sure by DMing me if you have any specific topic requests for the podcast or for my Facebook Lives, because I'm constantly looking for new ideas, new inspiration of how I can, you know, speak into your situations and be of value to you. So for sure, reach out to me if you're enjoying today's episode. Of course, you can also leave a review on this podcast, but let me keep going with number five. This, I would say, is out of all the five, the biggest work in progress truth for myself. And it is that you can be nice and have boundaries. Oh, as a people pleaser, it can be hard to set boundaries without having guilt. So for myself, I definitely stretch myself too thin. And I don't think a lot of people's intention was to take advantage of me, but in hindsight, people were taking advantage of me. People were taking my time for granted. People were not valuing my time. But I wasn't valuing my time. I wasn't setting the boundary. I wasn't setting that expectation. And I wasn't showing them that I valued my time because I was just giving. And they were just taking. This did not allow either of us to win, because it was getting them nowhere because they were just constantly asking, but not taking any action. And for me, I was just giving, running myself dry and, you know, not receiving anything in return. And that's not to say you can, every time you give or every time that you help somebody out, that you should be receiving something. No, that's not what I mean. But I mean, when it comes to you, let's say you're a coach, you're probably a service provider online if you're listening. If not, we can talk about you becoming one if you'd like. But if you are a service provider online, you're likely a giver. You know, we're providing a service because people have problems that we can help solve. And so you probably have a giving heart. And if you do, then it can be hard to set those boundaries because you feel like, oh, I can really impact this person's life, or I feel like this is the right person for me to be serving. But where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? And that's what I have and had problems with. Where do I set the boundary? So for myself, I was hopping on calls, strategy calls, whatever you want to call them, discovery calls, you know, initial consultation calls, with anybody and everybody, even when people had no intention to invest. And for me, like, I can't do that anymore. I simply don't have the time. And it's not that I don't want to help people, but people also need to understand that this is your job. You know, this is my job. You're not going to show up for work and work an hour and expect it to just be volunteer. You know, it's just free work. No, same thing for us as entrepreneurs, us as coaches. We need to respect ourselves by paying ourselves. And if you are giving away your time, like your time is unlimited, then not only are you likely emptying your bucket, but you're not getting the fuel you need to take that next step. So what I found myself doing is hopping on all these calls with people that had no real intention of investing and therefore weren't investing. And I was just giving. They were taking and then they'd walk away. You know, does somebody walk into your shop, grab a candy bar and then walk out? Do you just let them walk out? You just wave them goodbye and say, have a great day. Enjoy the candy bar. I mean, maybe you do if you're a very nice shop owner. But no, like, you know, you expect people to come into a store with the intention of buying something. And this is actually a good example. I've never thought about this. But yeah, it's just like a store. You know, you walk into a store usually with the intention to buy something. Does that mean you have to buy something when you walk into that store? No, because if it doesn't have what you're looking for, then you absolutely have the right to leave that store without making a purchase. Same things go for a call or a sales call. If you get on that call and it's not what you're looking for, you don't have to invest. But if you don't have the intention to buy anything, if you know that this person doesn't have what you want, then why would you even get in the store? Maybe you just go to Costco to get the free samples. I don't know. But it's something that I would have told myself from the beginning, hey, you know what? Value your time. Respect your time more than other people respect it. And people will begin to respect your time when you begin to respect your time. That's the ultimate takeaway. So a big overview of the five truths that I wish I knew, or If I could go back and tell myself as I was starting out, saying, heads up, Emily, watch out for this, these would be the five things. So that would be that increasing your hours does not mean an increase in your income. That no matter the strategy, the bulletproof plan, the resources you provide clients, the results are dependent on their implementation. It depends on their action, and their action is dependent on their mentality. The third thing is that not everybody is going to be your cheerleader forever, and sometimes the way people show up for you changes as you grow, as you begin to win. And notice who those people are that are chanting for you, that are cheering you on when you are losing, when you are growing, and when you are winning. And those are the people you want to surround yourself with. Make sure they're the people that are uplifting you when you're doing bad and when you're doing great. By making assumptions, we are limiting our opportunities and possibly cutting off connections that could lead to amazing things for not only you, but also the receiver, the other person that you're connecting with, or the other person that you're having this relationship with. It doesn't have to be clear about what a relationship is. Just start connecting. Just take chances. Just don't assume. Don't assume. Don't assume. And last but definitely not least, you can absolutely be kind. You can be nice. You can be helpful. You can provide value, and you can still respect yourself. You can still have boundaries, and you can be the go-to person. You can be that authority figure. You can be the expert, and you can be a nice one. But that doesn't mean you allow other people to walk all over you. Hold your ground, know the value you provide, and respect yourself so others respect you. That is all for today's episode. This is a bit of a longer episode than I normally do, but I love talking about my experiences and things that I don't really hear other people talking about too much, because again, these are the things I didn't know that I wish I knew. And I think a huge reason I didn't know about it is because not a lot of people are talking about these things, like clients not getting results, or that people, you know, can be a bit rude sometimes, or, you know, view you as someone smaller, less than, but then as you grow and that you become competition and people communicate differently. These are things that I did not hear people talking about, and I wish I did. So I would love to hear anything maybe you've learned being in this space, or which one of these five really stuck out to you. I would love to start a conversation on Instagram or Facebook, Emily Dawn Coach on Instagram, or of course in the show notes, you can find all of my links. Let's connect there, and I will see you next week for whichever episode that happens to be. Bye for now. If you enjoyed listening to today's episode, be sure to rate and subscribe. To connect with me further, you can find me in my Facebook group, Ambitious Women Entrepreneurs and Coaches, or on Instagram at Emily Dawn Coach. You can also check out the show notes to get direct links, and I will catch you for the next episode.